Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss.
And I'm Theo Vaughn.
And we have a legend with us today, Mr. Bruce Campbell.
Allegedly.
Allegedly?
Legend.
Allegedly.
Now, why allegedly? Why allegedly?
Why
not decidedly?
Allegedly? Because it covers our ass if we say something that is not
you
true.
Go, I didn't say, really
well,
say
allegedly,
that.
Well, allegedly, that's just
nice.
What we heard.
Nicely
right?
done.
So that's allegedly. But this is Bruce Campbell.
We're going to hear allegedly a lot in the next 4 years. I hear that word.
Good point. Star of, obviously, the Evil Dead movies, and currently Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3 starts February 25th.
On Stars.
On Stars.
Now, how, if someone's not an Evil Dead watcher, they're not.
What? Whoa.
Yeah.
Stop right
there.
I'm talking
about
the
Amish.
Gotta stop you, man.
I'm talking about the Amish.
Meaning, okay, so if the Amish want to know, hey, what's this movie? Yeah. Ash vs. Evil Dead.
If you had
how
to
would
to,
I describe
wait, is,
it to them?
Is Kermit Amish?
I would describe it to them as not appropriate for them. If you haven't heard about it, then you don't want to see it.
Because the Amish are wild, man. I think. Do you think they sneak out into the barn at night and look at pictures of the Evil Dead?
They get down. They totally get down with their spinach chins and whatnot. Yeah, there's some hell raising going on in those barns.
Well,
they're not just raising barns. They're raising a little hell.
You're writing this yourself.
I like this.
By the way, he does not live in L.A.
No, I live in the hinterlands of Oregon. I left Oregon a day early because we had a snowstorm coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's just a good idea in Oregon. Don't. Just get out.
And you brought the rain.
Yeah.
I did. How's that working for you?
That's
I
good.
Was just in Oregon.
Oh, were you?
I was just in Oregon.
Look, everybody needs rain. Don't ever, ever complain about rain ever for the rest of your life.
Hmm. Ooh, guy.
Unless you get washed away like okay. a place that gets too much rain.
Fair enough.
Like where?
Like Montecito, like after they burned all the vegetation away.
Like Atlantis.
That was the most ridiculous perfect storm, by the way. Mm. First, let's burn all the vegetation. And I'm talking every stick. Now, we'll have more rain than, you know, in the and it was biblical.
Because they got the fire first and then the water.
Yeah, because there's nothing to stop the rain.
And they prayed for the rain, I heard.
Well, it worked, and now they had to pray for it to stop.
So, Bruce, tell me, what's going up in Oregon is I figure like there would be more Evil Dead stuff going on in Oregon than there is like in L.A.
I actually have a bunch of chainsaws on the property, but
no, you don't.
I have no idea how to use them.
Wait, do you?
Because there's a little governor thing, and then you got to pump the thing. Mm-hmm. It's all a bunch of crap. Is the choke on? Is it off? It's a bunch of baloney.
So you don't really use them?
I got a guy for that.
Yeah.
You have a chainsaw guy.
Yeah, I do have a chainsaw guy.
Wait, that was my first question. What's something you really have used a chainsaw for in your real life?
For cutting wood that I actually use to heat my house.
Oh,
yeah. But honestly, chainsaws are for squares if you just, unless you're cutting a tree down. You really, it's all about splitting wood.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
You're out there ruggedly shirt off.
I got a guy for that. Yeah. Oh, look, it's like
you're,
a stunt.
You're ruining
it's
my
like
fantasy,
a, well,
Bruce.
Hey, it's like I'm an actor. I bought a tractor off a guy whose marriage was failing, but I didn't know how to use a tractor, but I knew that I needed one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm an actor. I don't really know how to do anything.
I see.
So I called up Sears. Hey, I need some servicing on my tractor. And the guy would come out. And I go, hey, that lever there with the thing, that's the blade. Of the. He goes, no, that's the thing with the thing. If you want to do that, it's the thing and the thing. 3 visits later, I had it. He taught me how to use the tractor. Because there's no way in hell I was going to tell him I didn't know how to use it.
Right, right. Do people up there know you? Like, do people come to the property and see chainsaws and get a little freaked out?
No, the day I moved in, the neighbor across the street, a guy who's a rancher, comes up and is beat up. Ranchers, for some reason, drive beat up Lincolns. I don't know why.
Mm.
They're comfortable after being on a horse all day.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy came up my driveway. He goes, I understand you played a cowboy on a TV show. I said, yes, sir. He goes, well, why don't you help me run 100 head of cattle up the road this Saturday? And I was like, well, okay. Like, was that a serious question? Because I don't know you, sir. He goes, yeah, serious as a heart attack. Come on. I'm an old cowboy, but I got me a younger wife. I mean, yeah. Like, wow. They thought people in California were crazy.
Wow, man.
So that weekend, that Saturday, I showed up, wore a big, nice, bright Hawaiian shirt. I said, you got a horse? He goes, yeah, let's go. You know, Widowmaker, whatever the horse's name was. Met all my neighbors in one day. Because all we had to do was we had to move 100 head of cattle. But they knew where they were going. They've done this so often.
Oh. Yeah.
They're like going, oh, I guess we're going up to the Jenkins pasture now. Yeah. We just would block driveways, and then one truck was the feed truck, and they would just follow behind it. But you still felt like a cowboy. Yeah.
Did you really? And what was that? Was that when that sound when you sat on one of your nuts?
No, that's what cowboys do.
Yeah. I've just watched some of the outtakes. You know?
That sounds like a very angry cowboy.
So, Theo, can I tell you something?
Jesus, I probably don't have a choice but to hear it.
I've been sleeping really, really well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been sleeping very well ever since I got my Lisa mattress.
Ooh.
You know what Lisa mattress is?
I know Lisa's the first girl you've probably been with in a while.
that's the closest I've ever been to anything. It's an innovative direct-to-consumer online mattress brand that is also socially conscious. Yeah. So I feel good when I sleep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean socially conscious?
Well, it's driven by a mission to provide a better place to sleep for everybody. So Lisa donates one mattress to a shelter for every 10 they sell through their 110 program.
A shelter for what, humans or what?
Yeah, humans, yeah. Well, oh, wow. Humans need to, should every human should be able to sleep on a mattress, and they make it possible. They've donated over 22,000 mattresses so far.
I believe that.
And they also plant a tree. Every time that a mattress is bought, they plant a tree.
Well, that's whatever, but I think that getting the mattress to somebody is super important. I do know this, that you can find out how they feel. They're at over 80 West Elm stores nationwide. So if you have a West Elm store near you, you can go try out your Lisa mattress. Then you can come back to us and get a discount on one.
You can also go to the Lisa Dream Gallery in Soho, New York City, and Virginia Beach. They're American-made mattress that ships compressed in a box to your door. So you open it up, it pops open, and then you can go to sleep. And now our listeners can try the mattress in their home for 100 nights risk-free with free shipping always.
Wow.
That's right. 100 nights. And if you use our promo code, you're going to get $100 off the mattress right now.
That's it.
Go to lisa.com/allegedly.
Get that.
And use the promo code allegedly, A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y. And get your Lisa mattress and get a good night's sleep.
What are you sleeping on? What even mattress are you on, dude? You on right now on that freaking Simon Lupsberg mattress? What is that?
I never even heard
of that.
No, I haven't.
You on that Jerry Kakadactyl mattress?
Oh,
get
actually,
something reliable.
That's what my mom sleeps on.
Get something reliable. So, go to Lisa, LEESA.com/allegedly and promo code allegedly. $100 off that mattress. Sleep well.
So we're returning to Ash vs. Evil Dead, season 3. You know, it's getting, like, great reviews, although I saw you tweeted one, which was like a Forbes article.
Oh my God.
Is this a rave, or what kind of
thing is
this? Yeah,
is this good, bad, or bad, good review?
I couldn't tell. Are you kind of, like used to that sort of stuff? Is it, like, because of the genre that you're in always?
No, the good news is, finally, this is one of the best reasons to go back and crack open this egg, this stinky old egg. Is to go back and fix stuff.
Mm.
I played Ash when I was 21. I didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground. Mm. And he's like, he's best known as Ash from Evil Dead. I'm like, I got to suffer with that crap for the rest of my life. So now I'm like George Lucas. I'm going to go back. I can fix Ash now.
Wow.
I got 25 years more experience.
Wow.
I know how to do that guy now.
So what
I didn't
you...
know shit about playing Ash before.
So what do you fix of Ash?
Everything. Yeah. Everything out of his mouth.
Really?
Yeah, how would he talk? What would he say? He's got a daughter this season, which is, to me, so awesome. He's such an irresponsible father. He didn't know he had a kid.
Right.
Wow.
He didn't remember procreating.
So, ergo, is it hard for you to go watch the original? Like, do you
watch
it?
Yeah, screw that. That's for squares. I can watch the last half of it because we sort of figured out what we were doing as we did it.
Huh.
We all got better. Everything got better as the movie went on. But at the beginning, the first third of us, hi, Linda. How are you? I have a necklace for you. I'm like, oh my God, please. Cue the monsters, please.
But people, I mean, but that is a, it is a.
Look, that's part of the charm of the movie. It's low grade actors delivering crappy dialogue in a low budget setting with a very inventive director.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of eventually was different than the other movies because Sam Raimi's he is a visionary type guy.
Yeah.
He was not one of these Roger Corman, I'm going to crank it out in 4 days guys.
Right.
I mean, we shot for 12 weeks this first movie. You don't shoot low-budget movies for 12 weeks.
No.
We were scheduled for 6 and went over 6.
Holy crap.
And we had days we got one shot. 14 hours, one shot. Sam would be fired on most modern-day sets.
Wow. And I read that it was like 350...
Yeah, about 350,000.
That's pretty big back in 79.
Try and raise that money.
No, that was
sir.
My question. How do then, I do yeah. that now? I couldn't even raise 350.
Well, it'd be like what? It'd be like $1.2 million now.
Yeah.
$1.5 million.
Yeah, wow. But it would only be worth about $100,000.
Right. Well, it depends on the day. A lot of it's
you
Bitcoin.
Have, you would have to do it. We had to figure it out. We had no track record. We had to go to doctors and dentists and lawyers. You know, if you can crack a couple eggs, though, you can get more. Like, it was really tough
like
to
domino.
Get this. One of the lawyers of our movie, he was a young lawyer at the firm who was doing the paperwork for the investors, and he was part of his family did the three-way Delta faucet.
Ooh.
Sacks of cash, right? Yeah. Sacks of cash.
I love them faucets.
He invested. He
I did.
He invested because this was not the normal boring
yeah.
you know, real estate crap that he would normally do. He invested. And then half of his family invested.
Wow.
Without even meeting us.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then one other guy invested. And then he's on the golf course one day with his pal. Hey, what have you been up to? Oh, I invested in the movie. Oh, maybe I will too. And we yeah. never met that guy.
Wow.
So some investments were impossible, like pulling teeth. And then others, we were like, wow, that was easy.
Hiring, right? Right? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. Hiring is tough. That's why we go to ZipRecruiter, because ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, it identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. And these invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. And ZipRecruiter doesn't just stop at getting you the quality candidate. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss the right match. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/allegedly, A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y. That's ZipRecruiter.com/allegedly. ZipRecruiter.com/allegedly. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Yeah, so the follow-up question is, do these people get their – have they
– It's not like the producers. Our math is correct.
So did they get their
yeah,
money
we
back
sold
in
shares,
millions? Like,
oh, 25 times their money.
They
wow.
did.
Oh,
wow.
yeah. My dad's statement was like, boy, it's like finding it in the street. You know, I mean, he got phantom checks, you know.
Wow. Were you an investor? Like, do you get
yeah,
continual?
Yeah, I'm an owner of one of three owners of the movie.
So does that just continually to pay off?
It's the gift that keeps giving, sir.
Yeah, that's
why
nice.
I can hire people to do chainsaw stuff for me. Because of the movie with the chainsaws.
So you didn't have to come back and do like Ash. Yeah, I mean, financially you're fine. It was like you wanted to recreate.
Oh, I'm
the character.
A thousandary many times over.
In Oregon.
Yeah.
So you wanted to the appeal of coming back to Ash was,
it was to
recreate
it. Do it
to,
right. Do it right. And so finally, you know, people used to make fun of the special effects and the acting and all that crap. Now we have really good craftsmen.
Yeah.
They work on the Avatar movies. They work on Lord of the Rings. They were the Hercules and Xena guys. We shoot in Auckland, New Zealand.
Mm.
And no one can make fun of it anymore. Our digital stuff is really good. The set, you know, we've created an entire world. We don't have normal sets.
Right,
there's
right.
nothing normal about it.
Wow.
So we don't really go outside. It's all fake. We fake everything.
All of it. Wow.
Every bit of it.
Do you worry that like that some of the novelty will be lost by making it?
You always
good?
Worry that people will think your work sucks.
Yeah
that's always an issue. In this case, with a TV show, yeah, can you take that guy, the book, the chainsaw, the car, the basic mythology of it, and can you make it into a TV show? Is there enough material? Where would you go with it?
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, every show struggles with that.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel more pressure going back to the character? Like, because it's
yeah,
like,
that's a good question.
I mean, sometimes you know you commit a crime. Say you commit a crime. You're like, okay, I did the crime. That's good. You know, I got away with it. Do you worry about showing back up at the scene of the crime? You're like, oh, I'm going to do it again.
Well, it's weird. These guys had to recreate the cabin that we had in Tennessee. It was 79 was the first movie.
Yeah.
Wow. And rural Tennessee in 1970.
That's when I was born.
1979, you're as old as Evil Dead. You are old.
And you're one of the two.
You know,
I'm having a resurrection right now.
Actually. Are you really?
Yeah, sure.
Well, dude, come on, bro. We're going to file a complaint.
1979, rural Tennessee was Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the bank to get some money out as a producer, and it literally smelled like dirt.
Yeah.
I'm like, why does it smell like dirt? And the woman was like, well, round hair people still bury it in their backyard.
Now you're talking Theo's language. He grew up in outside
this is rural
in Louisiana.
Tennessee, and people, they still go on pilgrimages to take bricks from the fireplace. It's the only remaining thing of the cabin.
Wow.
The rest of it burned down.
Wow.
In the 80s.
Wow. Huh.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's life's
Do you want
country.
A piece of it? Do you have like a piece of the cabin?
I've signed so many portions of it. I literally was at some film festival. And guy puts a big sandstone rock right on there, and he's just giggling to himself. He's like, yeah. I look up. He goes, you know what that is, right? I'm like, you dumbass. You will get shot. You will get shot. This is your trespassing. Don't do that. And you can't sign sandstone with a Sharpie.
It doesn't work.
Really? Oh, it's the most porous. It sucks. It's like, give me the worst thing to sign.
Wow. Okay.
Stolen piece of property.
Hey, Anthony, how old are you?
24.
Well, did you know that by the age of 35, 66% of men start losing their hair?
Oh, great.
When you start to notice hair loss, it's too late, Anthony. So, if I were you, I would look into Hims.
Hims.
Do you know what Hims is?
I do not. Tell me
more.
If
you go to 4hims.com, it is a one-stop shop for hair loss, also skincare. Sexual wellness
nice.
For men. They have medical-grade solutions, real doctors offering well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help your hair, which that means is it's cheaper.
All right.
Generic, which is right up your alley.
Yes.
They're not herbal supplements. They're prescription solutions backed by science. They're not herbal supplements. They're prescription solutions backed by science. It's easier to keep the hair you have than replace the hair you've lost. Did you know that?
I do now.
Good to know, right? There's no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits, and you save hours by going to 4hims.com. You answer a few quick questions, a doctor will review and prescribe you directly to your door.
Beautiful.
I spoke to the co-founder myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was great. He is, they've kind of revolutionized. A lot of people are embarrassed to talk about their issues, whether it's men specifically, whether it's hair loss or sexual, you know, problems.
Yeah, obviously.
And so I know you've told me in private about all yours.
Yes,
but
in private.
This is a way to get help for that because you need help, and do it in a way that you don't feel embarrassed about or whatnot, and to do it in a way that is also real and vetted and has great results. So you can order now. Our listeners get a trial month of everything you need to keep your hair for just $5.
$5 to keep my hair?
Yes, $5 right now while supplies last. You can go to the website for full details. It would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. But for our listeners, a trial month for just $5.
$5.
To keep that luscious head of hair that you have, Anthony.
Way cheaper than a wig.
Very much cheaper. So if you go to 4hims.com/allegedly, that's 4hims.com/allegedly, A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y, 4hims.com/allegedly. Keep your hair. It's easier to keep it than replace it.
Do it.
Have you ever signed boobs? I would assume you've signed lots of boobs in your time.
Boobs are great because I know exactly how to do it. I do because it's really all about surface tension.
Yeah.
And I'm really in the right position to apply that pressure on the opposite side of the boob.
I see.
If you're going to sign on one side, the pressure needs to be exerted on the other side.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Therefore, creating a hard surface so that your Sharpie will not skip.
And you learn by doing.
Flesh is oily.
Right.
Flesh is inconsistent. Flesh might have a little pimply, bumpity bump.
That could screw everything up.
Everything. So you need surface tension. So I apply that surface tension once I have permission.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the boober. And then I sign quickly and efficiently.
What?
You got to have that taut tit.
You said it, not me.
Yeah. And I grew up around a bunch of hard tits, man. My mother had lowercase A's. And I mean, just really. And she was aggressive, too. Very aggressive Italian.
Bruce, I would assume that you've had some crazy fan
running things.
I got some poetry once that was like worth calling the authorities.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you get sex? Oh, here's some poetry you'll really like.
But was it good?
Oh, no. It was horrifying, it was offensive, scary. Disturbing. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody. Yeah. I had a buddy one time who was, somebody gave him, brought him blood, brought him their own blood. As a
yeah.
Woman, and that's crazy.
Now, Norman Reedus from Walking yeah. Dead, he's Elvis. He doesn't take his sunglasses off. I'm pretty sure he hadn't combed his hair since he got out of bed.
Okay.
And women come up and cry at his table.
Yes.
Mm. Burst into tears. Yeah. And they leave the weirdest pile of strange, random shit.
I brought this for you, Norman.
And he's a really sweet guy. He's like, oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. You know. And they just go away. Their life has been changed by Norman Reedus.
Wow. Well, wow. You do that for people.
I would do the same thing. I wish I could just roll out of bed like he does.
Yeah.
That's what a great
well,
shtick.
Yeah,
5 minutes ago, the guy was like, you know, out.
You got to freshen up.
I try to get these people to up their game. I'm trying to get people who go to conventions. You're paying $50. Well, Norman Reedus, you're paying $125
yeah.
to get that picture with Norman Reedus. Ditch the basketball shorts, can you?
Yeah.
One photo, it's going above the mantle. That's all you got. Take the hat off.
Do you run?
I dare you.
Do you run into?
And
like,
I tell that to fans too.
Mm-hmm.
No, to the guests. Because the green room is the great crossroads of the world.
That's yeah. what I was going to
And you
ask.
See schlubbies with the torn jeans. I'm like, Casper Van Dien, come on. Just button it up.
Tighten up.
Throw a tie on there.
Come on, Starship Troopers.
And then the guys who dress up always do the pocket squares. Because they just don't know any better.
Yeah.
It's about the pocket poof and it's an explosion of color.
Right.
Because the guys, it's too corporate. The pocket square is too corporate. What do you work? What?
Yeah, why are you hiding your
meeting
color?
With IBM?
Well, you have a lovely purpley flower square.
My wife wasn't sure about the color of the pocket square, which is purpley and polka dotty with a green shirt. I explained to her it was Celtic.
Oh, okay, we'll go with that.
Because whenever my wife actually has very good taste, and whenever she busts me and she's correct, I have to go bullshit on her and just go, it's Celtic, it's ancient, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
So when you do these conventions, who are your favorite people to run into? Because I'm sure doing it over the
Shatner's
years.
Shatner's awesome.
Shatner?
Had to do Shatner because my brother and I were huge Star Trek fans.
Yeah. And Rescue 911.
Well, not that, no.
What's Rescue 911?
I was a huge Rescue 911 fan. That was William Shatner, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Well, Star's, no.
Another edition of Rescue 911.
No, it's the his T.J. Hooker.
T.J.?
That's what I watched was T.J.
Oh,
Hooker.
Oh, you did. Yeah, I got into him from Rescue 911.
Yeah, okay.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, he worked as a, he was like an
Shatner's
ambulance
been
call
around.
Guy.
So he was cool to meet. You got to meet the Stan Lees are always great.
Yeah.
You got to meet the icon. My favorite was Adam West.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, because he never had a bad day. This guy was 85.
Yeah.
And I'd always holler out, Adam, how's it going today? I'd be a lot better with an ice cold martini in my hand. I mean, he just was like, and he had the Brad Pitt graduated glasses.
Yeah.
And he wore ascots.
Wow.
The guy was spectacular.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you look, are you like in a room with people like, I don't know, Mr. Roper or whomever, and you're like, this is bizarre that I'm in a room with these people.
Oh, you have Elvira getting her green
That's
tea.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Is she hot or not in person?
She is. She's incredibly sweet.
Yes.
And then the Duck Dynasty guys are at another table. Because a lot of conventions, they're throwing spitballs now.
Right.
They're trying to see what's going to work out there
right.
in this crazy world.
Right.
And the Duck Dynasty guys, nobody was talking to them. And I felt bad. So I just walked over. I'm like, I think you're the Duck Dynasty guys, right? They're like, yeah, we're the Duck Dynasty guys. welcome. You guys been to these conventions? No, not really. It was one of our first ones. It's a little weird. Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
You got to kind of get with it. An actress friend of mine went to one of these and will never go back.
Really?
Yep.
Why would
Does not like the eyes on eyes, the sweaty, shaky hands,
yeah.
the trembling, the real emotional stuff because some of this actress's work had deeply impacted these individuals,
right.
mostly women.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they would come up and tell their stories, their horror stories, that she helped get them through.
Which is a
so
good
by the
thing,
end of the day, she felt like she was a Vietnam veteran. She's got, you know, PTSD.
Yeah, she's
well,
smoking
Meryl Streep
cigarettes and hiding in a little cage.
It wasn't Meryl Streep, was it?
I told Meryl Streep, suck it up. Come on.
What about
no more basketball shorts, Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
This is going on the mantle,
Ditch
girl.
The flip-flops. Come on.
We met Gina Davis and she had big toes, I thought.
Big toes.
Yeah.
Isn't she a big woman?
She is a very big woman.
Like statuesque?
Yeah, she is.
She might be, but her toes are also big.
Isn't she an archer?
She is.
Well, she seemed like she would be very, like she would definitely gun you down from far away.
She seems like she has attention span, too.
Yes,
which
she's
always
smart.
Very, that's very dangerous, because that means they can plan. Like, I can plan to kill you with my bow and arrow from a long way away.
I don't think Geena Davis is trying to kill anybody.
You never know, man.
I don't know.
That's
she seemed,
true.
Yeah, it was like all her toes were like the big ones. You
ask
know what
yourself,
I'm talking about?
Why would you want to be an archer?
Yeah.
You're piercing things with an arrow from far away.
That is
violent.
Bizarre.
It's a violent sport.
Well, yeah. Then I can ask you, why would you want to star in movies where there's so much gore and blood?
We did horror because we were afraid we wouldn't get our money back. Mm. We wanted to do a genre. Everything we did before Evil Dead, all of our amateur movies were all Three Stooges ripoffs.
Huh.
It was like Jackass with a plot.
Yeah.
We did probably 50 little Super 8 movies, but they were all comedy, most of it. But we were so terrified if we were going to actually raise money from people. You never saw low-budget comedies, really. You needed to have like a John Candy or a Steve Martin. And we're like, you can't get a hold of these guys. We didn't know where they were. We're in Michigan.
Yeah.
So that we felt like we had to put a package together. Huh. But with a horror movie, a lot of the early classics had nobody. Jamie Lee Curtis was nobody in Halloween.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. Gunnar Hansen, nobody. None of these people are anybody. So we thought you can do low-budget locations. You can have a bunch of nobodies in it. You don't have to have fancy cars or clothes. Right. You can just kind of shoot it like docu-style.
Right.
That helped out a lot.
Was there that moment when the film really popped and you were like, wow, we cracked something here? Like this was...
We had a screening. We had the first screening of the first movie at the old Redford Theater in Michigan. It was where we watched movies in our formative years.
Wow.
70mm Bridge on the River Kwai. This was an old theater from the 20s. Two-story. The organ came out of the ground.
Yeah.
So we had our premiere there because we're like, we have to do it at this theater. Our crappy little movie has to be on this gigantic screen. And it was that reaction where we're like,
oh, shit.
It wasn't what we thought it was going to be, though. There was a lot of laughter.
Ah.
And part of it was they were laughing at us a little bit. There was a little cheese going on. So there's some heavy cheese in that movie. Things are cheesy and low budget. But then when the carnage and mayhem started, they were like, what the hell is this? And there was no escape. And then they kept the laughter because then it was like nervous laughter.
Right.
And after the movie, an old lady was looking for us because we opened it to the public. Mm-hmm. We were like, anybody who wants to see it? We didn't care about ratings or anything. And this old lady wanted to find out who made the movie. And so me and Rob Tappert and Sam Raimi, we got called over to her. And we go, oh, here it comes. Here it comes. You know, she's just going to wave her finger at us. She goes, young man, I just want you to know something. I was having a horrible day, and I came in here, saw your movie, and that was a blast.
Oh, wow.
So she had a ball. We're like, okay.
Wow. That's how you met Meryl Streep.
Yeah. If Granny liked it, that's maybe
that's
not.
Great. Well, were you prepared then to become associated with and known as a horror icon for the rest of your existence?
No, your actors have no control over that.
Yeah. True.
And so you better get used to that.
And you just accept it.
I'm fine. I've done the whole 7 levels of, you know, denial, anger, rejection, frustration.
What level are we on now?
We're back to 1. Everything's good again. Everything's fine because it got me into the business.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And here's what I found. Fans are way more, they stereotype me way more than my own industry.
Huh.
I mean, I played cowboys. I played the King of Thieves on Hercules.
Yeah.
I've been in a French movie. You know, I've been in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Love Bug, you know. So I've done the whole scale, but I've found fans only watch what they watch.
Huh.
They're not going to follow me to different genres. I've actually found that. If you're a hardcore horror guy, you don't give a rat's ass about Burn Notice that ran for 111 episodes.
Right, right.
You're just that's not your bag.
Right.
And people who watch Burn Notice are like, what's those early gross movies he did?
Yeah.
What is that? You know, they like spy shows. They don't like the hardcore stuff. So I've found I can work within the industry in a bunch of different stuff. But fans are actually worse. They're much more cruel than the industry.
Wow, that's interesting.
Do you get mistaken for other entertainers often or no?
For a while, Bill Campbell. when he was rocketeering around.
Oh, yeah.
Got a little bit of that, Bill Campbell.
Yeah, I forgot about
we
him.
We did one movie together.
The Rocketeer?
Glenn Campbell, but our age difference is too much, and I don't sing.
Naomi Campbell, I'm sure.
But Glenn has one of the best mugshots, though, I will say that.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
He's a sod buster. He's got one of these grimaces, like, what are y'all looking at there?
Yeah,
his
yeah.
hair, the window of his car was obviously down. Because his hair had blown from the back of his head across his forehead.
Yeah, it's very JFK.
Oh, it was awful.
So yeah. What can people expect from the new season? You said, you know, you're developing Ashmore, but what?
In these days, I've seen a show canceled in the off season, and that's very frustrating because you can't wrap it up. And Everyone goes, why'd you guys quit? You know, they think it's your
people
fault.
People don't understand.
No, they have no idea. I thought that was a strange way to end that series. We're like, yeah, we us too. We didn't have a chance to finish it. So now we're a little more tuned in with that. So we made sure if season 3 is it, people are going to walk away very happy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's going to be leaving to hang up. My son will not recommend Dexter to people because of how badly they screwed up the ending.
They did screw
and
it
I
up.
Can't even say what it was. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But he was so incensed, he will not recommend it. We won't do that to fans.
Good.
So if they want more seasons, great. We got more ideas.
Do you have like an ending if it gets picked up and an ending if it doesn't? Or
we got it all, baby. Yeah. Oh, no. It's the same ending.
Same ending. Okay.
Yeah.
But then there's possibilities.
Well, the possibilities are insane because by the end of the season, nothing will be the same.
Okay.
There's no going back.
Yeah.
So it's one of those deals.
What's it like shooting in New Zealand?
It's cool.
Yeah.
I've known crew members down there now for 20 years.
I can imagine.
They're very incredibly hardworking people. It's beautiful down there. The billionaires are moving in because it's a no-nukes country. Hmm. They're very green. They love their organic food. It's a stable economy. It's a democracy. Hmm. And they have deep water ports and an international airport.
Hmm. Wow.
So it is exploding. And I did a chart, my city of Detroit, Michigan, my home city. In the last 10 years, Auckland gained what Detroit lost in population. And the thing that I learned is about a city, look for the construction cranes in a city. If there are no construction cranes, and I'm talking the big cranes, then your city is it's sucking eggs.
It's on the way down. Yeah. Wow, interesting.
Yep.
Sucking eggs.
It is. And Auckland is the entire horizon is giant cranes.
Mm.
Wow. And Lucy Lawless, who's on the
Ms.
show.
Ms. Lawless is also on the show.
Who's also married
to one of your partners. Our producing partner, Rob Tappert. She goes home to dinner at her house every night. It's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
And she's really spectacular.
She's cool. I've met her before.
She was mandatory. When we knew we got the show, I said, Rob, at dinner tonight, maybe you'll say, hey, Lucy, pass the peas, and will you please be in our new show?
Yeah.
Mm. I'm like, if she's not in the show, you're the worst producer ever. You know what I mean? She's right there.
You got a meeting with her every night.
Yeah, come on.
Was it hard to stay on the same page with your partners?
That's a good question. As you move forward with the
Mr. Tapper and Miss Ramey?
Well, we agreed to the – Sam did the pilot. That was the most important thing. He did the pilot episode for it. He and his brother wrote it. So he set it up, which is the most important thing, is what's the tone, what does it look like? And, you know, he blew our budget. With the rest of the season, we were screwed season 1 because Sam ate our entire time up. He's like, have fun with the rest of your season.
Good luck.
But he did a great episode.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what you go off of. TV, you have to divvy up the work.
Yeah.
You have writers that are not Sam Raimi. You have directors that are not Sam Raimi. And you have actors that are not Ash. We have to expand the show, so we have new actors this season. And that's always cool.
Yeah.
Because then dynamics keep changing, and it keeps it from getting
boring.
Cool.
What surprised you most about Hollywood whenever you got here and, like, as you have had the, you know, a career?
How little people in Hollywood like movies.
Wow.
Yeah. Because
what a statement.
Most of the studios that my limited experience of dealing with the guys who run studios
don't give a shit.
These are hardcore, tough, mostly tough business guys who, it's kind of sexy. I'm in the movie business.
Right.
But his first quarter, second quarter, he's got to do the same corporate horseshit as the guy from IBM.
Yeah.
Even if he is, you know, the head of Time Warner.
Wow.
And it's really awkward sometimes. I met Rupert Murdoch once in the back of a limo. And Rupert was one of these guys of, like, I was on his show. I was a The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. on his network, Fox. And someone had whispered, yeah, he's on your show. So I sit in the limo, and Rupert sort of looks around, and he sees me. And so, oh, you're in one of my shows. Yeah, right, yes, The Adventures of Briscoe County. Oh, yeah. So his eyes lock on me, full attention, for 30 seconds. And then it was as if I had died. I'm right across from him. I'm 3 feet away from him. We still have to get to the venue. We're still 5 minutes away, but his 30 seconds is over.
And then you're out.
And his attention, he went right to somebody else. Wow. And it never came back.
And what was it? Did you have did you feel like you'd missed some window or something? You feel like he was just that kind
no,
of
No, that
guy?
Was the only window I was going to get.
Right.
Yeah, wow.
Because I'm an actor on one of his random shows.
Just like other people, right.
And more importantly, what the hell do business guys say to actors? I mean, when you really think about it.
Yeah.
What do you have in common?
You know, actors are, these are a lot of whack jobs, actors. And there's,
oh, 100%.
And, you know what I mean? And a lot of executives
perverts
are too.
Too.
But it's art versus commerce. It's
the weirdest
combination of things.
Well, I want to ask, when you first moved out here, going off of that, did you go Hollywood wild? Did you dive into the Hollywood scene?
No.
You must have gotten some leg out here, because you seem like a decent looking man.
No. I was married with small kids when I came out here.
Well, dude, but they don't need to go out on the town with you. I mean, the kids sound little.
No, I kind of avoided every single bit of that because I felt anything that took away from me acting or making movies was wasting my time.
Wow.
And I felt that it was all networking of mostly desperate people.
Yeah,
That you feel like you got to go to parties. Like, I had a manager for a while, and he'd go, there's a premiere next week of Desperate Housewives, the movie. What a name it. Some stupid movie. And I go, I'm not in it. Right. I know, but I've got passes, and you'll run the gauntlet, and we'll do the pictures. And I'm like, well, maybe you will. I'm not in that movie. What am I going to say to anybody? Why am I here? To get my picture taken? How embarrassing.
Yeah.
I just found that it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm like, if people can't find me through my work, then I'm just going to take that risk.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I don't have to do it through this way.
It does seem a little bit desperate.
It is very desperate.
There's a lot of desperate
people. It's almost like
people.
An accepted part of the – it's just part of the game.
Desperation has always been there.
So I want to know, Hollywood trivia, is there any – can you tell us any movie that you either turned down or didn't get that you really wanted to get that would have changed kind of like the
I went through the whole process to get in the Phantom that Billy Zane got.
Yeah.
It was me and Billy Zane. We both auditioned for it. We got down – we screen tested. And I found it the other day in my closet. I have the 35mm screen test for the Phantom.
Oh, really?
They gave it to me. It's so weird. They go, you want this? We don't need it.
You didn't get
for
the
anything.
Job, but here, have
here you
screen
go.
Test.
Here's your hair.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be cool to put out. That'd be cool.
And look, you know, people the thing died a thousand deaths, so who's laughing now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I told him before he got here, we got more fan questions
than ever before.
And we've been doing this for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So I feel like, honestly,
I will only answer one of them. Pick the best one.
Okay. I like this one a lot, actually. This is from Chuck Topley.
And by the way, I'm going to put $5 on the table.
Okay.
If any of these questions is a question I've never heard before,
okay,
you guys can put that in the coffee fund.
Nice.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That'll start.
Well, maybe I should
go to your local dispensary.
All right. Well, this is a question that I liked, even though I didn't come up with it. And you may have been asked it before, but considering how much fake blood you've had to consume, have they added vitamins or supplements to help you?
That is good. That's...
Is that a new
good
one?
Question.
Off the top.
$5 might be in danger.
Yeah.
No, it still tastes horrible.
It
still has horrible dye in
it.
And the effects guys use the crappy blood. The crappy blood has the worst dye in it. If you get it on you, you have to take shaving cream and put it all over the affected area, and the foaming action of the shaving cream lifts it away.
Huh.
It lifts and separates.
Wow.
And does that work with regular blood, too?
But then for my face, we use the expensive stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't want to hurt the face.
No.
So have you ever, asked for a taste of some certain thing? Can you put, a strawberry flavor or
no.
anything like that?
No, but we have much more input now, I do, of the velocity, coverage, amount,
the viscosity
the
of
viscosity
it.
The viscosity of it. So we have outside the stage, we have an outline of a person. And I'll go, give me the nozzle. What nozzle number are you using? If you're all right, Bruce, we're gonna chore this with a number four nozzle, because don't forget they're from New Zealand. Number four nozzle. And so then they'll go, and they'll do it's like a blood cannon. And if it seems like way too much, I'll go, you got to dial that back. Right, we can put like a number six valve on it. Might spread it more shotgun-like. I'm like, yep, let's go with that. And the best thing is when the actors get it the very first time, there's no acting of any kind. Mm. You lose your breath because these stages are very cold anyway. We're shooting in the New Zealand winter, and the blood is cold.
Oh.
So they immediately shiver and just lose their breath. And it's so great because it's a completely horrific reaction
real,
to it. Yeah, and a lot of times, Sam, when he did the first one, he'd get right by the camera.
But the first episode or back in the movie?
Back in the day, too, is one of the simplest blood delivery methods. They love to get all fancy with pressurized this.
Of
you don't need that. You need a small pail, and you take a spackling brush. It's got to be like 4 or 5 inches wide, like a paste brush.
Okay.
And you dip that in there, and he would test his hand and ask the camera guy where he started to see the brush, and then he would pull back like 2 inches.
Yeah.
And you just dip that in there like an inch deep, and then you just go whack, and you flick it. You flick it, and you get this great line of particleized blood. It's brilliant.
Yeah, has any of this ever...
No reload. You just keep dipping, doing it.
That's awesome.
Has any of this ever, like, do you feel like you could pull off a murder now? Like, do you feel like...
After Burn Notice...
We had Jeffrey Donovan on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because...
I thought you were going to say we had Jeffrey Dahmer.
No. We're still waiting for the response from his publicist.
No, Burn Notice was pretty interesting because it actually got you thinking about tactics and exits. Mm. So I have very often unconsciously, if a place is too crowded or too volatile or something, I'll go, where are the exits?
Yeah.
Let me go over there and just take a look over there.
But you still don't answer the murder question.
The murder one?
Do you think you could pull off a perfect murder?
I think anybody could. Most people get caught on dumb stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of unsolved
hair in the
murders.
Van. It's usually hair in the van.
Yeah.
So first of all, don't have a van.
Don't get one.
That's easy. Yeah.
And no velvet paintings on the side.
If I kill somebody, it's in a Toyota Tercel. You can bet that.
So that was my question for my original question,
because
I like that, and I think that might have gotten the $5.
You got it. You can have it.
But some other question. Have you ever been scared on set or had nightmares, recurring nightmares over the years from stuff that you filmed?
That's ridiculous. Sigourney Weaver, they interviewed her. She She did Ghostbusters 2, right?
Yes.
And she got possessed at one point.
Yeah.
And she was on a talk show.
Yes.
They went, Sigourney, what was that like playing a possessed character? She goes, I scared myself. And I about shit myself. I'm like, oh, really? Really? To me, when they call cut, I'm like, can I get a wipey and a sandwich? You know? I mean, this is silly. It's all rubber monsters and...
Okay, well, Freddie asked
me.
It was Freddie.
And Sigourney isn't even a real name.
No, the scariest during Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, was we went home to eat dinner, and it was only a mile or so away from the cabin. We came back, and all the power tools were stolen.
Oh.
But the weirdest thing, so there was someone had been watching us from up in the hills.
Sigourney Weaver?
These were locals.
This sounds scary.
No, these were good old boys, man.
Okay.
1979. Yeah. Funny thing is, they walked right past a $20,000 Aeroflex to take the $40 saw, skill saw, because they didn't need that.
Right.
I mean, I think they literally looked at it and went, man, do you know what that is? No, I don't know what that is. We don't need that shit. We need that shit over there. So we had to post somebody to sleep there.
What do you think, besides, I mean, do you feel like you were innately born with special talents that help you to be a good actor?
A high tolerance for pain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Physical or emotional? Or both?
I'm sure I'm emotionally stunted, but, you know, physically I wound up doing more, I think, than the average actor.
Wow.
But there's a lot of stuff they actually won't even let you do. There's stuff I wanted to do, and they checked with the insurance company and said, you can do it. but you're not covered.
It's on your own dime.
And so you don't ever want to shut a production down. It's I never joke about that because you don't want to do it.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
You know what? Share the love.
Yeah.
With your stunt guy.
Yeah.
Raisho Vezolev is my stunt guy on Ash vs. Evil Dead. The hardest working son of a bitch. This guy, I met him years ago on Man with a Screaming Brain in Sofia, Bulgaria, making a modern day classic. Never thought I'd see the guy again. He was a stunt coordinator in Bulgaria. I'm like, well, see ya, pal. I'm never coming back here again.
Bulgarian goodbye.
Next thing you know, he'd started working in New Zealand, and he's a great double. Because he's really physical. He's a great specimen. That's what you want. You always want some guy who could just rip it. And I'd be walking across the set. They'd be shooting something else. And I hear this loud crash. You know, they always would go, 3, 2, 1, action. Because I had to hoist him or smash him into a wall. And then you hear this smash. And I'd look over and I'd see Raisho limping away from the set. And I'd go, hey, Raisho. How'd that work for you, man? He'd go, fuck this shit, boss. And he would just keep walking without even looking back. But he always called me boss.
Okay.
So he could complain all he wanted. But...
Did your wife ever request him? Like, is him? If they, things weren't going good in you guys' relationship or something, she's like, tonight I'm going to have him
have
take
the stunt double tonight.
You know what? If she can't handle me, she couldn't handle him. No, that guy's a brute. I would not force that upon my wife. I would not.
Justin wants to know, how accurate to scale were your muscles on the Army of Darkness poster?
Well, funny man.
In other words, fuck you, Justin.
They were never accurate. Well, because here's the thing. They go, here's what they do for that poster.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, Saturday, come to North Hollywood. We're going to take a reference shot of your face.
Okay.
Doing kind of a smarmy reaction. That's what they're looking for. Hmm. And then they just take your head and, you know, the whole thing is like a Frank Frazetta poster.
Right, right.
And then Dino De Laurentiis went even crazier because he handled the foreign sales
for
it.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
He made me into Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And what jerk producers like that don't realize is that most of the world will think it was me going, hey, man, can you pump those muscles up a little bit? What do you say, man?
Right, right.
You know, help a guy out here.
Of course.
And I get blamed. But to him, you go... Because he worked with Schwarzenegger, so he knew what sell. You know, he did, what's the big Schwarzenegger?
Terminator stuff?
No.
Kindergarten Cop?
Conan.
No, Conan. Yeah. Yeah. So he's
Kindergarten
like,
Cop.
Yeah, the guys with the big muscles sells movies.
Okay. Do you have you cool with a couple more fanners?
Go.
All right, good. Wants to know, if you were to play a role from any other movie that you were never in, what would the role be?
Oh, from somebody else's movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to be like the Maltese Falcon.
Oh, like an
old classic Bogart
detective
movie. Yeah,
oh,
with the cool suits, with the whole cool haircuts on the Warner Brothers sets, lighting cigarettes, drinking, you know, gin. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, I need because I want to witness. I need to be heliported around, and like 1939, I want to be able to be in a hovercraft and go. Poke my head in stages.
Yeah.
Because they made Stagecoach in 1939, yeah. Gone with the Wind, Wuthering Heights. They did like 87 classics that year.
Yeah.
So I would like to be in one of those movies. And the funny thing is, it's probably a really stinky stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No air conditioning.
Yeah.
Clark Gable's smoking all the time. His dentures smell like crap, apparently.
Right.
Everyone's in wool, scratchy wool.
Miserable.
Back then, the grips wore ties and suits.
Wow.
Oh, all right. Let's lay that dolly track in your suit.
Wow.
Doesn't make any sense. Caught. Yeah.
Okay, Ryan Hutchinson, any possibility of the show ever crossing over with the 2013 movie? And what did you think of that movie?
I thought the movie was fine because I was one of the producers
Boom.
Of that movie.
Okay.
I love people go like, oh, somebody else is making that Evil Dead movie.
No, you're like, I don't.
Yeah, we were all over like a cheap suit.
Any chance of any
There's a chance of, you know, these days, there's a chance of anything.
Wow.
It is. It really is. And I'm not even trying to be cynical. There just is. You give, stop fighting City Hall. We got so much, people tormented us so much about, where's another Evil Dead movie?
Yeah.
We're like, dude. It bombed because now today, Army of Darkness, 25 years ago, it came out.
Today.
Holy yeah, 25 years ago.
Wow.
And I'm like, what people don't understand is that movie bombed.
I did not know
it
that.
Laid a massive egg. It, you know, cost $12 million, and I think it made $12
million. Huh.
You know, I'm not a mathematician, but I played one on TV.
Yeah.
It's not the recipe for success. But then what happened is built up a cult following. They re-released all the DVDs in the 90s, yeah, did all the making of, all that stuff. Anchor Bay was a very instrumental company in that.
Yeah.
Really refueled the interest. And we thought we would just throw the movie out, like, okay, here. You want some Evil Dead? Here.
Yeah.
We were all doing other stuff. But like, try that.
Yeah.
Sam handpicked the director, and I thought Jane Levy did a great job. And people were like, it's like an Evil Dead movie.
Right.
But they still, we felt they wanted the real thing. And I give fans a lot of credit. They would not let the pressure up.
Huh.
And now I'm like, man. You just got 15 fresh hours. And I think what most fans have to realize, too, on Starz, it's a weird specialty item. You're watching unrated TV. We have no content.
I didn't know that either.
Restrictions whatsoever. Wow.
Is that just on Starz or is that on most?
It's
cable
on
network?
Any premium channel. Who has balls?
Yeah.
Right? And that was one of our questions we asked when we went to pitch this show around town. And literally, it was, what are the content restrictions? And a guy from a very reputable, very prestigious cable network, the president, leaned back in his chair. He goes, because Sam Raimi asked the question. You know, like, and what creative control will you give us? And he goes, Sam, we're really good at what we do here. Oh. I'm like, oh, so you just said fuck off, basically, is what you're saying.
Wow.
That we'll take care of this. We're good at this. We know what we're doing. Starz said, we will basically leave you guys alone, and there's no content restrictions.
Wow.
And if that's worth a monthly fee, then guess what? Pay it, because you're not going to get it anywhere else.
That's true.
And people... The other thing they don't understand, the real hardcore gore fans, if this came out as a movie, it'd be R-rated.
Yeah.
You would contractually, because you work with a studio, they need to have R-rated movies. They need to have a rating to their movie. Two out of the three Evil Dead movies didn't even have a rating.
No shit.
First two.
I didn't know that.
No rating.
They don't even go
back. And then
back
when we submitted Army of Darkness to the ratings board, they went, oh, you're the guys who didn't submit one or two. Oh, now you need us. Oh, they were such assholes. It was unbelievable. Oh, they gave us NC-17.
I love seeing Hollywood through his eyes because
you're really
being very honest, and it's very
real.
Why
not?
Real.
Who gives a fuck at
this
point? You know, I mean, but it was really infuriating because we said, okay, tell us what to cut.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's the cumulative effect. What a bullshit answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want? Tell us. The witch's head is too much blood. You know, this, that, and the other thing. Oh, they hassled us mercilessly, and yet the opening sequence of Goodfellas, you can have in the opening sequence before the credits are over, gangsters driving along, they hear a thump, thump, thump. They stop the car, open it. There's a guy in there. Mm-hmm. They've already tried to kill him. He's bound against his will. Mm-hmm. He's suffering horribly. Joe Pesci takes a knife, starts stabbing him. That's torture.
Yeah.
He cannot defend himself.
Right.
It's just pure Martin Scorsese, awful, awful torture. That's an R rating.
Yeah.
Because it's based on real events. Mm. Bullshit. That's a studio movie. And guess what? When we submitted Evil Dead 2013 through a studio... Like crap through a goose. Because it's like Judy is watching it. Judy is going to show it to Sally at the ratings board. Hi, where do you want to eat lunch today? You know, I mean, it's
teamwork.
They run into each other all the time.
That's
they
dirty
have
teamwork.
Long associations. We had no previous association with the ratings board.
Really? Wow.
And they don't dig that. They don't dig that. These are vindictive sons of bitches.
There's no rhyme or reason to this town. That's what I'm getting at.
Not
here
really.
As I hear this
ego.
About you.
Which is why you just got to relax, do your material, do the best you can, put it out there. And it's you can't make something for the ratings. That's really...
Which, this question's interesting. Andrew Galinas, if only one thing you worked on could exist, what would it be?
Only one thing?
Yes.
That of
could
any
exist.
Of anything.
If anything that you've done... What would the one thing that you'd be – let's say you had to put something in, I don't know, time capsule or whatever.
My
one...
first book, because it was a bestseller.
Yeah. So not
about,
the movies.
It's about the B movie bit. No, because it's way more personal.
Huh.
You make a movie, there's lots of people with lots of ideas. You know, you have Final Cut in this town? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. A very dear friend of mine has had a Final Cut on a movie, and he would get 50 editing notes, and he would do like – 18 or 20 of them saying those were pretty good notes, but the rest of
the
your
rest
notes sucked, so I'm not going to do them. They call them back in, say, you know, we really need to address those other 30 notes. You know, and so
your book.
The opinions, the book is I got like one other guy, my editor.
Yeah.
And he might go, You might want to tighten that up.
All right.
Boom. Okay. What else? This kind of went on a little bit. What are you trying to get at here? You know, the note, I think I addressed my editor's notes for the first book in about 10 minutes. I mean.
This one was If Chins Could Kill, yeah.
It's about, because I felt the B-movie side of things really was unrepresented. Judy Garland writes a book. They're all famous people. Frank Sinatra, blah, 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 blah. Most people do not work in the A leagues.
True.
This is not technically an A-list podcast.
No.
But you guys work as hard as anybody else.
Yeah.
You still get your ass up, show up every day. You know, doing PR, I'm at every secondary TV station.
Yeah.
None of these are the big time.
Yeah.
But they're all doing their hair and doing the, they're all showing up and working just as hard as everybody else.
Very true. Yeah.
With less money, less reward, less fame, less fortune, less everything. Right. So they're doing it, I feel, for a little more altruistic reasons.
Right. Yeah. But I think that that kind of thing is growing in Hollywood. I mean, you see so many things I feel like on the lower level that are growing and the larger things that are getting weaker and weaker. Do you think you feel that?
Here's
at all?
What's so awesome. A filmmaker now, I think Ridley Scott just said this in an interview. You got no excuse, dude. You go to Kmart, you buy a 2 gigabyte tower for $400. Editing software, you need like 3 or 4 pieces of editing software, you need a camera that's 1080p, it has to be 2K, it doesn't have to be 4K, all this KK bullshit.
Yeah.
You get it. You don't have to get rolls of film. You don't have to buy the rolls of film. You don't have to get them processed anymore. You can reuse a chip if you really wanted to.
Right.
You can shoot forever.
No excuse.
Your lighting, you don't even need lights anymore. We could shoot this scene that we're sitting here right now without a single light. Throw a wireless mic on you now, boom, forget it.
Yeah.
So the ability and... Joe Blow from Butt Crack, Indiana. You can do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere. And the big kicker used to be, how do we get a print? How do we get a 35 millimeter print? Because movie theaters are 35 millimeter.
Right.
If you're 16 millimeter, hey, close but no cigar, dude.
Right.
But in this case, you can take a thumb drive or a hard drive and take it to your local theater, because every single theater now has a digital drive. How hard was that?
A local theater is not going to
they will.
Show my movie that I shot at my
mom's will.
House.
Yeah, they will.
In the afternoon, they will if you sell
Saturday night, some midnight thing. You find the alternative houses, and I'm so grateful that they exist. They do. I've toured with these low-budget movies long enough.
Yeah.
Young couples have bought old movie theaters, put in new drapes, new brand new digital sound systems. Mm-hmm. They do sleepovers.
Yeah.
The Alamo Draft House is a totally with it chain.
There's a bathhouse on Melrose. I'm not even joking. That does film night.
A bathhouse that does film night? What kind of films, Theo?
I'm not sure.
Bathing movies.
No, but a buddy of mine was in a film over there.
This guy, Jeremy. Okay.
There is the ability, because of technology, to help out not only exhibitors, but filmmakers. It's a good time for filmmakers.
What do you notice has changed as far as fans go from when things weren't as accessible and, like, you know, technology and smartphones, like
Twitter
before,
and all that?
Yeah, like fans before and fans now. Has there been any big difference? I mean, obviously every fan wants a picture now, as opposed to maybe at some point it was an autograph. But has there been anything else you've noticed?
Yeah, the selfie thing is just, you know. And have you seen the lighting at conventions?
No.
Most of them are left over. It's the blue-green ghetto lighting that comes on, and like the mercury vapor.
Yes.
And you turn them on, and they're really dim, and they go, bzzz, and they hum until they come up to speed. And everyone looks like Frankenstein. And so at those things, I'm like, you ain't taking a picture at that table.
Really?
No. Come over here.
Ah.
To a designated photo session, and they have the prom style photographs with the pop, pop.
Right.
And it hits you right in your lovely little face and takes a completely in focus, not garish, horrible looking photograph.
Right.
Yeah.
So you want one of those? No problem.
Right.
But you ain't taking it at the table with the
the bad lighting.
No.
I got one more.
Respects the art.
One more question we'll wrap it up with. And that is, I'm sure this is not a new question, but how many Aloha shirts do you own?
Now, when you say Aloha, that's something of an ignorant statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
this is
that question.
This is Calvin. This is Calvin. Ask this question.
I guess technically it would be Hawaiian shirt.
Hawaiian shirt.
I wear Tommy Bahamas. Ah. I wore them before Burn Notice.
Ah.
They sort of caught up with me on Burn Notice. Here's how you know a good Hawaiian shirt from a bad one.
Please tell me.
And most guys who love coming up at conventions going, hey, man, I love Burn Notice. What do you think of my Hawaiian shirt? And you can, I can, within 2 seconds, I know it's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. You judge people's Hawaiian shirts.
Immediately.
You have to.
Okay. Immediately.
As if they're not getting judged enough.
They need it. They need the truth.
They're at
Who's
going to
tell
them?
If you ask me, I will tell you.
Okay,
I will not overtly insult you. Wow, what a shitty shirt that is. If you ask me, I will tell you. I'll say, sir. I'll say, ma'am, because usually they're with their wife. Did he buy the shirt or did you? Oh, he bought it himself. Well, man, maybe next time you should go with him. Because with a Tommy Bahama shirt, they're silk. This is why they cost $125 each.
Right.
The pattern goes across the buttons uninterrupted. Mm. Mm. Everybody else's shirts, the patterns will be off by 3, 4, 8 inches.
Mm. Right.
The palm fronds will become a goofy red flower. And same with the pocket. They have to go across the pocket, wow, unimpeded. So when you look at the shirt, it is a unified whole, mm-hmm, regardless of whether, regardless of anything.
Right.
It's
right.
A piece.
And it's about drapage.
Right.
These guys,
right,
usually they get what we call in the business, they get like it accordions on them. And these, the crappy material will,
yes,
will go zigzaggy on them,
right,
and get boxy, and it'll poof up, and it'll bell out at the bottom. And most of these guys don't need any help at the bottom. They're already belling out. So the Tommy Bahama shirt can hide a multitude of sins.
But not everybody can afford a Tommy Bahama shirt.
I don't give a crap what they can or can't do. This is the subject matter. That's the answer.
Oh, I am just picturing you at a convention, like someone coming up, and you're just looking at their shirt.
Oh, no. There's a lot of YouTubes of me insulting people. Oh, yeah. It's pretty rampant. Because
wow,
they ask for it.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
They need it.
There you go. Give me your best insult.
My best insult?
Yeah, can you insult me right now?
Where are you from?
Philadelphia.
Oh, I'll speak more slowly. You know. Or you go, security.
Yeah.
It's a lot of those, you know.
Is there? Is a lot of like, oh,
sure.
Just
and I give money away, and I take it back.
Well, you can, if you want your
$5. No, you
can
take your damn $5. Because wow, there were actually enough decent questions there.
Good enough.
That was
enough.
Like a, I'd give that a B.
Oh.
Those were B questions.
Oh, okay, well. We're a B podcast.
Yeah.
So
A would have been more NPR-ish.
Oh, not here. Not here, yeah, buddy. So everybody, before we wrap it up, we'll say go watch the new season of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Nothing will ever be the same. Mm-hmm. And actors, they're paid to say that crap.
Mm-hmm.
But we're actually, this. I kind of mean it.
Yeah, I believe that.
This is it. This is kind of, if you want to see it happen, if you, because everyone loves to drag TV shows out. The certain storylines forever, not this season. We're wrapping shit up in a awesome, big drippy bow.
Wow!
And
okay,
there's a daughter this time. You said as well.
Yeah, man, and that's a great dynamic for this idiot Ash because he actually has to become almost a responsible citizen. But I like the fact that he doesn't like the. He catches her swearing at one point.
And that's
and
what
he's like. Do as I say, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Not as I do.
That's great.
Dude, well, you're probably one of the most interesting people we've had in here. I've never just sat here and listened the whole time.
Yeah,
almost.
It's been pretty great.
It's a crazy industry that we're in. That's why I think that's why I occasionally, every 15 years, I write a book about it.
Yeah.
The next book will be The Final Confessions.
Wow.
Oh, yeah?
Because I just put out the further confessions.
Uh-huh.
So 15 years from now, I'll be like, you know, 75, be the gummer sitting on his chair. Final confessions. Then you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get the good stuff.
Are you already like taking stock of things that are going to go in final confession?
No, because you know what the funny thing is? If someone's a D-bag, it's just easier to ignore it.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
don't give them the FaceTime.
Yeah.
Because, man, don't pick a fight on social media with your fellow actors.
Yeah.
Sounds
we got
like
actors.
You've learned that the hard way.
Actors are hot. Well, no, yeah. Just, I like, I think I tweeted like one serious tweet like 3 years ago, and I was like, oh my God! The response of it, of now you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Oh, are you the expert? Oh, look at you. You know, so I'm like, hey, here's the link to my convention appearance.
Yeah.
Hey, saw this cool cloud formation yesterday.
Here's yeah, the link to the allegedly podcast. That
absolutely.
I'm on.
That's exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah, Twitter's just, I mean, especially Twitter is just the worst.
Ooh, it's awful.
It's almost weird. It's like, I wonder, like, if I had to pick a place that Twitter was. Like, where would it be? Because the other ones aren't as bad. Twitter is just...
It's just scathing because everyone's hiding
But Facebook, though, Facebook, you can go on and on and on. Right. At least Twitter's like, enough already. You got to put a new post.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
You know, I don't know.
Well, we kind of lost...
Danger Will Robinson is really the moral tale there.
Yeah.
Use responsibly.
We kind of lost sight of points, which is completely fine. Which
I'll give
happens.
You carried this whole episode.
Why
man.
Do I have to? Why do I have to judge you guys? I don't.
Because we like
LA,
to have,
dude. I didn't drive out here not to be judged.
I'm here to be judged.
Yeah. Because what's going to support my? What facts are going to support my suicide at the end of all of this?
Oh,
sorry, that was too much.
Too dark. Well, too much. We can. You can. Where do we stand points wise, or in the lead wise, or anything wise?
I would just say this because I don't live. In your town, okay?
Yeah.
I live in a place called Oregon.
Yes.
We don't attack each other where I live.
Oh.
We support each other. And when two people are working together, they don't tear each other down, guys.
Wow.
So
okay.
let's do some building, not tearing.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Let's watch Ash versus Evil Dead, something fun, lighthearted.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Easy on the eyes.
Okay.
All right, I'll watch it. Who else is in it?
Wait, who's he?
Lee Majors.
No, this has been fascinating. I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna get tuned in. I'm gonna encourage others to get tuned in. I wanna know more about this.
It's off the hook.
Thank you so much for coming in. This is
check
awesome.
The show out. If you don't like it, see ya.
Such a crazy guy.
I love it. Well, thank you for coming
in. Thank you,
in.
Gentlemen.
Bruce Everybody, Campbell, check it out so on much. Stars.
You're both tied in your abilities. You're both hilarious.
So we're both winners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I didn't say that.
We'll see you guys next time on All another right. episode of Rescue 911.
Starring William Shatner.
He was great in that.
Well, Shatner was the wagon.